With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Jack Grossman, and the Sports Center update is brought to you by the Huffman Auto Group. Huffman has it. Louisville basketball head coach Chris Mack joined the Aaron Torres podcast yesterday and discussed how added depth will create a competition for playing time.
So we're a lot deeper team than we were a year ago. And I think it'd be hard for us to find a coach anywhere in the country that'll play 13 players. And, you know, I'm not going to be the first. You know, so it's going to be extremely competitive. I think our practices are going to be a lot different than they were a year ago.
On to baseball, the Reds battled back from an early four-run deficit, but Nick Castellanos gave the Cubs the lead for good with this long ball.
And this one lifted high and deep to right field, going back Aquino. That's gone. Second home run of the night for Nicholas Castellanos, and he has given the Cubs the lead again.
Jeff Brantley on the call right here on ESPN 680 105.7. Cubs went on to win the game 12-5. Reds and Cubs are back at it tonight, with coverage starting at 7 p.m. right here on ESPN 680 105.7. Bats avoided a sweep last night, beating the Iron Pigs 6-1. Bats will continue their road trip at 7:05 tonight in Rochester. More V-Show above Alvano's next. This is SportsCenter.
Hey! Broadcasting live from the Papa John's studios, keep it locked on the V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
It's hot!
How hot is it?
It's so hot, everybody's wearing sweatpants! No, I mean, it's hot!
How hot is it?
It's so hot, the fire hydrants are saying, "Here, doggy, doggy." I mean, what's up with that? Really, it's hot. It's so hot, you absolutely need to get a new jet ski watercraft and hit the water. And you're in luck, because CC Power Sports in Brooks, Kentucky is making cooling off incredibly easy with the hottest deals of the year on the coolest personal watercraft in the world. During our sizzling summer clearance, CC Power Sports has discounts up to $1,500 on the jet ski SXR, STX, LX, even the incomparable Ultra 310X.
Imagine yourself on the most powerful jet ski watercraft ever made, the 2019 310LX.
You can start right now and save $1,500 doing it. How cool is that? But you better hurry. Deals this hot won't last forever. CC Power Sports, just off I-65 at Brooks Road, exit 121. That's one exit south of the Snide.
Tyler Mountain Water has made our office a better place to work for over a year now. They've saved us from long waits at the coffee shop and Diener's rants about those long lines by installing a Keurig that runs right into our water line. So if you want coffee, water, tea, and of course, hot chocolate delivered to your home or office, contact Tyler Mountain Water. They'll throw in a box of K-Cups and a case of bottled water on your first order if you tell them Worldwide sent you. So visit TylerMountainWater.com today. That's TylerMountainWater.com, and make sure to tell them Worldwide sent you.
Hey, Bobby V here. You've heard me talking about Vitality Wellness and weight loss for good reason. I've lost over 20, almost 30 pounds, actually, and it's all personalized and works just for you. It's not a one-size-fits-all diet, and they tailor their programs, their supplements, the minerals, to what your body needs. I like understanding how and why we're doing things, and that's what they explain to you at Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. Give them a call. They're at 502-442-7180. Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. Be healthier, thinner, happier, starting tomorrow at Vitality.
Want to be a part of the show? Hit us up on the Fan Outfitters Twitter feed at ESPN 680.
be a part of the show, text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Show presented by a number of people, and one of which is my friends, are my friends at Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. I have to tell you, I frustrate them a tad because I do a lot of my own little like experiments. I did, they don't, but I can't help it because I want to speak about it on the radio and I want to be able to say with confidence that what I'm saying is true. And so, what I'm telling
you,
dehydrated
fruit, by the way.
That you go by cycles. There's 20-day cycles or 40-day cycles, okay? And every diet you ever go on, I've said this before, here's the reality. Any diet, if you follow it, any credible diet, if you follow it properly, you'll lose weight. I mean, you will. And they all claim they'll teach you to eat for the rest of your life. Here's my experiences. You can follow the diet. It's brutally, brutally hard, many of them. Very hard. Inflexible. One size fits all. Everybody's supposed to be on the same diet. That makes no sense to me. How do they know exactly what your body needs? And as for learning how to eat when you're all done, no. You know, once the thing's done with the little packaged foods, the prepared foods, now you're back out in the real world. Very, very difficult. So I went through the 40-day cycle and I said, okay, well now I learned how to eat differently. I'm not specifically doing their plan, but I am following the principles that they've given me. I know this is going to drive them nuts, but I'm telling you the truth. So I said, let me just see, and then I intend to do another cycle. I'm starting another cycle next week. So I jumped on the scale this morning, and I have lost 28 pounds from when the thing started, and I have not put on 1 ounce, not an ounce, from when the first cycle ended. Because I've learned to eat differently. You said this the other day. I can't even eat the way I used to. It's not even like at a spot. No. When I think about the things that we used to eat regularly, I really can't do it. I mean, honest to God. I mean, I didn't say you won't eat the same things. I could still enjoy, like, when you're on the diet I'm in the very strict part. You're not having pasta. You could have the zucchini pasta, which is great, or the spaghetti squash, and that's great. But, you know, real pasta you don't have.
I had squash fries the other day.
Great, right?
Fries. Delicious.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
Same.
So, but okay, but for this stretch, I said, you know what? I'm going to eat a small plate of pasta. But I did. But a small plate of pasta. Remember the restaurant we used to go to in Connecticut where they would serve you a whole pound box yourself? Your portion was the whole box?
Yeah, it was a family portion. Yeah. It was a full-on family portion.
And they give to each individual.
Right. And we would...
And we finish it.
And also moms. And most of Jamie's.
So that's my point. So I love this plan. And I'm going back to start another cycle next. And I just can't speak enough about it. If you want to change your life... You go on diets and you're thinking, oh my God, please, how can I get off this? This isn't that. This is a way to show you how to live and introduced me to a whole bunch of great food that I still like, even when I was not, quote unquote, going through the plan in this little respite between cycles. I still am enjoying eating a lot of the same things. Like I make a pizza, you know this, out of the big mushrooms.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The portobello. Portobellos.
Yeah.
Totally legal. Fantastic. The portobello mushroom serves like as an individual pizza. That's like your crust, for lack of a better word. And then you put the nutritional yeast and the legitimate tomato sauce. And then you can put meat. You're allowed lean meat. And it's fantastic. Are you kidding me? That is delicious.
I made a pizza out of cauliflower crust.
Well, you're allowed that.
Yes.
I won't be allowed on that until I get to your stage. You're in the lockdown stage.
Is it fun? And, oh, man, is it fun.
You're eating a ridiculous amount of food.
Yeah, I know. Borderline obscene amounts. But healthy. All of it healthy. Feel great. Put a little bit of olive oil on it. Healthy.
Good for you.
Put a little bit of, and I'm excited I get to say this word on the radio.
What?
Nut cheese.
Oh, no, that's good.
Yeah, it's cheese from almond milk. And, yeah, that was very good. Put a little bit of nutritional yeast, a little bit of healthy organic tomato sauce, some turkey bacon, bada bing, delicious. Absolutely delicious. As good as any pizza.
I'm telling you. They have a website with recipes that are, I mean, just limitless for the things you can do. I just can't say enough about them. If you want to lose the weight, learn how to live your life in a more healthy fashion, then please
check them out. They are absolutely the best group that I've worked with. Everything they tell you that they're going to do, they do. It work. You put your hand on this little machine, it does a body scan, it'll tell you exactly what your body needs, and that's why your program will be different than mine, which is different than Nick's, because it's tailored to you. It's Vitality is the name. Vitality,
our sales wellness using and Brianna's using it, and Nathan's using
Nathan
it.
Nathan, too?
Yeah. Wow. His wife's using it.
The world's probably spinning faster because there's less weight on it.
Oh, it's crazy. We're going for sexiest radio station.
Oh, that's impressive.
We're this coming
kid
for
the,
you.
This kid at the
iHeart.
So check him out at Vitality. This kid at the plate, God bless him, he was determined to swing. He swung it. We're watching Connecticut play Rhode Island, and the kid at the plate just hit two balls. Two, had he not swung, would have hit him right in the face. The other one would have hit him in the shin. They obviously were trying to pitch him inside, but rather than back away and take a ball and take his base on balls, he was determined to get a hack at it. It was pretty interesting. So there you go. That's what's going on in Little League.
That reminds me. I've got sound. I got to play for you.
I got a story that's kind of just a general interest story that I want to get to.
This is funny.
I want to play Rich Eisen's thing that I was playing this morning.
All right, can I play this first just because it involves...
You talking with your mouth full.
Yeah, well, I'm eating my freeze-dried apples.
Delicious.
Healthier than chips. Tastier, too. Sorry, I'm swallowing. Put that on the mixtape. It's from the Little League World Series. I wanted to play it yesterday when I came across it. It's about a day or so old, but this anchor is just getting mobbed by little kids.
What do you mean, this television? What do you mean, anchor?
Television reporter. Reporter, yeah, not anchor. Sorry, that'd be crazy if they were in the studio.
I don't even know. You know, I don't even know who the anchors are anymore for the networks. Lester Holt, is he still one, the guy on NBC?
Yeah, he's still one.
Who are the other two? You know, when I was a
for
kid.
What, like in the morning? Or
no, night? The CBS, the evening news used to be the show, Dan Rather, NBC.
Lester Holt's NBC.
Yes. It was Walter Cronkite, then it was Dan Rather, and NBC had way back, way before your time, Huntley and Brinkley, and then they...
when I wasn't working at a restaurant...
Jennings, what was it? Peter Jennings on ABC.
Yeah.
These were all stars. Now I don't even know. Lester Holt's the only one I can name. Who are the other two?
Walter Cronkite still does some stuff.
No, Walter Cronkite's very dead.
No, well, who is it then?
I wouldn't know who you're talking about.
No, there's a dude for like NBC that does a little bit of stuff.
Oh, Tom Brokaw.
Tom Brokaw.
Yeah,
there we go.
Was
yeah,
the big
what
star.
I said. Yeah, my bad.
So who? Anyway, go ahead. Well, so this is not an anchor; it's a reporter.
No, it's a reporter. Sorry, I have to find it. I retweeted it. Give me one sec. Oh, hey, Freddie Coleman. Going down my Twitter line. Oh, yeah, here we go. This is from Troy Lynch with what station is he with? It is KREXS Fox 4, which I'm not sure where that is. But, yeah, he's doing a little stand-up there, and all these kids are just mobbing him. And it gets kind of funny. I think the audio is quite good. So here we go. I've tap danced enough. There we go.
Anderson Beto, he came in the middle of the game, and Anderson Beto, he actually survived a scare. And oh my gosh, these fans are going crazy. I don't even know what's going on right now. Anderson Beto, he only faced two batters, all right? He retired them both. But the first batter, all right, guys, all right. We need to calm down, all right? I have a job to do. I'm just trying to do my job, guys. I don't even know who these kids are. Where are your parents? Where are your parents? Your parents need to do better. They're too much sugar. Too much sugar at All-Star Games. This kid's just jumping up.
I've had three root beers.
Good job, Lawrence. Good job.
My name's not Lawrence.
So anyway, as I was saying, oh, watch out, buddy. We're tripping over wires right now. It's getting a little chaotic here. Anyway. Help me!
Is he really
Mom,
mad or is he laughing?
No,
I think he's playing along with it. But
oh my gosh, I was not expecting this. This was a mistake. This was a mistake.
Okay, I got an idea.
I just tried to get a job. Nobody told me this would happen. Baseball doesn't matter anymore.
Oh.
Just because I'm getting mauled by kids. I don't even
he
know.
He set this all
who
up.
These are.
It's
where
obvious.
Are your parents? All right.
Since they're taking the microphone
help
from
me.
The video.
Oh my gosh, help me! My job.
Very clever. He obviously set that up, you could tell, because the parents would have responded. The woman was saying free root beer. I mean, so it was obviously set up.
There's one.
But that's funny. It's very funny.
Who's tubby right next to him? I love it. He goes, I've had three root beers. That's good for you, Lawrence. My name's not Lawrence. Like that exchange. It's a great video because it's one of those videos you watch and you see something different each time. Like you see the little kid hopping around like into this like – into the shot, like in the lower left, you see the one kind of goth looking kid just standing behind him, staring into his soul. It's funny. It's a little bit of fun there. Troy Lynch at Mr. Troy Lynch. So he retweeted that's got quite a little bit of traction. It's fun. It's a fun little video. But right. Yeah, I think he was playing along with it for sure. It also helps that he looks like a younger version of Chernoff, and Chernoff looks like. Like a baby. He's got a baby face. Everyone rags on him, too. He's the nicest guy, but he was filling in for Locke today because evidently Locke went to Washington, D.C. Why did he go to Washington, D.C.? Is he protesting something? Do we know? Do we have any idea at all?
Who's going to Washington, D.C.?
Locke is.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Locke wasn't in today, so...
Yeah, I know, but well, I didn't know he was going to Washington, D.C. But, I mean, you know, why... What you? I don't know. I have no idea how to respond to that. He's got a life. Maybe he's going to see friends.
I was
maybe
I was
to see the Capitol. I'm not a spokesman. What do you want me to say? I don't know. He's going to D.C. to appeal.
I'm also trying to get you to come back because I see you going down. You're looking over my shoulder.
No, I'm trying because I know you
phone.
Don't have the rich
you're
eyes in video. I know you don't have it. So I was trying to find it.
Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah, see, you don't even know what I'm talking about. So.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I heard you this morning. Before the pets started crapping everywhere, we talked about this.
An interesting morning. All right, here's let me give you the background, because it's easier to do it that way than try to, do it in little dribs and drabs. So I'll give you the whole story. I'm very heartbroken that Netflix has canceled Designated Survivor. I love that program. Three seasons, thought it was great, and they're canceling it. And I've decided to try and follow as many of the cast members on Twitter as I can. Kiefer Sutherland, who plays the president, who was evidently a very good recording artist as well. He's Canadian, which Nick likes. He plays hockey in the show a lot. And my guess is, I guess he had a song that was number one on the country charts in Canada. So he's very multi-talented. Oh, crap. I followed him, and then I was following some of the others. Anyway, I'm making a long story much too long. Italia Ricci, who plays a character on the show named Emily, is married to another actor. Sadly, isn't that awful? I can't remember his name right now. But he made a movie a while ago. I will find this. Now I'm going back through the... I'm backtracking here, okay? He made a movie a number of years ago. We had to play. His name is Robbie Amell. And evidently he did this video a long time ago where he has to play a quarterback. And he has to show, and he's dropping back. And if you watch it, because I'll be honest, the first time I saw it, there was a link on it. I didn't understand. I was like... I found it, by the way. If you go to Italia Ricci's Twitter and scroll down, there's a link to Rich Eisen talking about this. Because I think this is very interesting. I think you'll find the story entertaining and pertinent to what we're talking about. We like to criticize things we don't really understand. That's what we do. And it's a shame. Because as somebody who's slightly in the public eye, I can only imagine when you're very much in the public eye, what you go through. I had not heard of this guy before, but he's married to... the lovely Italia Ricci, and so he's an actor, and he plays this role. He was dropping back, and he's supposed to be throwing the football. And I got to be honest, when I first saw the clip, I didn't know why it was making a big deal, but I thought, oh, my God, what a terrible pass. Well, then I realized they were making fun of him. Somebody on one of those sports websites that specializes in that, what, Barstool or Deadspin or one of them, was just ridiculing the crap out of him. That, oh, my God, why do they pick actors who can't even throw the football? And... he was making the point, and this is the things we don't criticize, that we criticize, we don't understand. It was a scene, it's not limited, limited budgets perhaps, so maybe that's why, but it's a scene where he's throwing it and they don't want the sound. They don't want to make a sound. These guys are, there's mics everywhere. So he's supposed to be throwing it to like a stagehand who's just out of view, and if he throws it to the kid really hard, it's going to make a noise when the guy catches it. If they don't have anybody catch it, you're going to hear it hit the ground. or you'll even hear the ball zipping. Not to mention, surrounded by probably $500,000 worth of electronics equipment, that if he just throws it and they don't catch it, footballs take odd bounces, is liable to knock one of these things over, so you got to have somebody there to catch the ball. And again, if that guy catches it, it makes a noise and it distorts the whole thing. So, for her Friday night, poor Italia, her date night with her guy, she had to go out into the parking lot with a video camera to show him throwing a football. He insisted he would not take, he was adamant about this. He said, I can throw a football, trust me. And so they went out and they showed him, and sure enough, he throws a fine football. But the point was, that's, we just love to criticize crap that we don't know anything about. And he's, it's harmless, what do you know? But there's always people at the other end of that discussion. And it's, and so Rich Eisen, have you found it yet? Okay, I'll play it from here then. Rich Eisen is talking about, he's taken the guy's case. His co-host on his radio show or podcast or whatever is attacking. Don't know how to do it. Just says retweet. And now I've retweeted it. So he's talking about, his co-host is also agreeing with mocking that. Why would you throw it like that? It's ridiculous. And he's saying, again, when people love to criticize about crap they don't know, he says firsthand an experience he went through. It's a pretty funny story, I think. So, oh yeah, that's all right. Start it, and then we'll go right to John Feinstein. Here it is. Here's Rich telling his take on why he feels for the actor Robbie Amell.
The name of this actor's name is what? Robbie Amell? Is that his name? And he throws a football, and it does look terrible. It looks terrible. But you've been on a set, Chris. You've been on have you been on a TV shoot? Have you been on a
sure, Rich? I mean, you forget we were co-stars in an episode
the
of the league.
Okay, but when he threw the ball, there was a $100,000 piece of equipment like 2 feet away from him, and a sound person who was basically saying, hey, if you throw too hard, we'll hear the ball hitting right next to the camera, and we can't have that. So he flipped it. I'm telling you. Chris.
Look, here's what I'm saying.
And somebody tweeted it out.
If that was
and
me.
And then Coward piled on top of it, and it goes totally viral. And I will say this. If it's you, you're not going to go.
If that was me and I looked at the dailies and that made me look like I'd never picked up a football before, I'd be like, hey, we're shooting this again.
SportsCenter commercial years ago. You still see it because Stuart Scott's in it. And it's one of the funnier ones he's ever been in. And every single time that Stuart's remembered in his SportsCenter commercials, it comes on and on and on and on. Stuart Scott is washing his hands in a men's room. You hear a flush of the toilet. I walk out of the stall. We wave. Flush of a toilet. Jockey walks out of the stall next. Stuart gives this look like, what's that all about?
Goes back to whistling.
Flush of the toilet. Horse walks behind Stuart Scott. Hilarious SportsCenter commercial.
Very funny.
Okay? Now, the one thing that I thought of at that day was how come I'm the one coming out of the can and not Stuart Scott? Stuart was the one who got to wash his hands the entire time.
Yeah, you didn't wash
I'm
your...
the one who comes out of the toilet, clearly dropping a deuce because I'm in a stall.
Well,
I know some guy. Look,
Costanza was a stall man.
Excuse me. I'm a stall man.
I understand that some people freeze, and I know I'm starting to. I'm telling some people maybe of the fairer sex what goes on when the guys go to the men's room. Sometimes guys freeze up and they want to go in the stall.
That's right.
Okay.
It happens.
But I said, if this is going to be shot this way, I will not shoot this unless I get to wash my hands before leaving the screen. And the number of people from the director and the assistant director and the producer and the person from ESPN and the ad agency, they all came up to me to pull me aside and say, there's not enough time in the 30-second spot, Rich. Don't worry about it. What the sound guy even pulls me up and goes, you do know it's more important to have your hands clean before you go. I'm like, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Not helping.
It doesn't matter. And Stuart even pulled me aside. He goes, Rich, just you know, take it easy. No one's going to say anything. Sure enough, a few weeks later, commercial comes out. I'm going around in Yankee Stadium before a World Series game. And some Yankee fan screams out, "Hey, Eisen, why don't you wash your hands when you come out of the can?" Literally, that happened. And if Twitter had happened then, if there was Twitter then, it would have gone viral, just like this poor actor went viral yesterday. He has no say in saying, "I refuse to do this shot unless it looks like I throw a football." He can't do it.
No. Yes, he can.
No.
No, he can't.
It's easy for you to say, and it's easy for everyone on Twitter to give this guy a hard time, man. He responded on Twitter by throwing a football in his street to show how he could throw it. His wife, who's pregnant, she's an actress, tweeted out that my date night with my husband is being ruined right now because he's blowing up a football to shoot a video I know I'm going to have to shoot.
He's had years to practice after that bad take.
I am forever known. Well, hold on. I could be forever known as a guy who never washes his hands when he comes out of the John. But there is one saving grace that every single time that they do show this commercial again, somebody at ESPN has told somebody, or someone at ESPN is assuming that I should be cut out of the commercial because they edited me out. You just see the jockey and you just see the horse. You don't see me anymore.
Oh, I found a version on YouTube where you come out of the can.
So I honestly, when I saw this whole thing going on Twitter, I'm like sitting there thinking, I know exactly how this guy feels. Exactly.
That's pretty good. That's it. People think, as the great Jim Morris said, you think you know, but you don't know. And you never, he's exactly right. I'm going to go tell the producer and the director. That's how they get reputations. Never work with that jackass again. That's so true. Very true. The things we must criticize, we must. We just must. But
that said.
Okay.
No, well, I mean, because there.
Have you seen the video of him throwing it? He can throw it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he can definitely throw it. I feel bad. There are other times when there's, you can just tell the actor has no experience playing a sport. And then there's other times.
That I agree is ridiculous. Basketball is the worst. They put guys in basketball scenes. They don't even, I mean.
And there's nothing around them. So that defense, which is valid, that Rich Eisen's giving, but is ones, not there. Right. It is them, a basketball hoop, and the entire empty gymnasium, and they are shooting it with their foot.
Yes.
Like it is.
That's a different thing. That's on the producer and the director. But this poor guy, the video's from years ago, just getting hammered. So I give him credit for stepping up and zipping one right down Broadway. John Feinstein joins us next. It's the V Show on ESPN Radio.
The year.
You're locked on the V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Welcome back to our program. Thanks for being with us here on this Friday. It's a great pleasure to welcome in an old friend who is one of the most accomplished authors and a great columnist. You can see his stuff at thewashingtonpost.com, which is what we're specifically going to be alluding to in our next visit right here. John Feinstein joins us. John, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Bob, the pleasure is always mine. I'm good. It's good to hear your voice.
You wrote a piece that's entitled "Sticking to Sports Isn't Just Pointless, It's Inhuman." And the thing that I want to visit with you about, to me, is this. The premise for me, at least, being there are things that I think we would agree, you know, that if you try and shoehorn politics into a sporting event, we object to. It's over the line. It interferes. It takes away from the game. It's inappropriate. I think we'd agree there are things that meet that criteria. And then there are some, like you alluded in your article, that most people of common sense look at when Navy changed their slogan from "load the clip" to "win the day." The coach himself pointed out to you it was about a 1-minute meeting with the captains who said, "Yeah, you know what? That's right. We should change that and be sensitive to it." And they changed it. Okay, so we agree that there are things at both end. The thing that's interesting that I would love to pick your brain about is we can't seem to define in the middle what's appropriate and what's not. But we have to start with the premise that sports and society and societal issues will always be linked. So how do you define in the middle what's appropriate and what's not?
Well, I think every individual has to make that decision himself or herself. And there are always going to be disagreements. I mean, that's sort of what the world is about. You know, what I might see as something that should absolutely be written about or talked about, you might not want to have me write about or talk about yourself. I use three examples in the column of recent events where I thought that it would be ridiculous for people to say, you know, and I get this all the time. I'm sure you get it sometimes too, but I get it all because I'm a liberal. I mean, I'm and Dan Quayle once called me an admitted liberal in a book review. It was a very kind book review, but he called me an admitted liberal, and I actually wrote him a note and I said, thanks so much for the kind review, but I'm not an admitted liberal. I'm a proud liberal, and there are a lot of people in this country who find me to be way left. And some people find me a little left, but everybody finds me left. I have a good friend on the PGA Tour, a rules official named Slugger White, who's as far right as I am left, and he often says to me that I'm so far left I'm almost right.
You've gone all the way around the bend,
yeah,
have you?
Exactly. So, but in these three cases, I didn't think you had to be particularly far one way or the other. You mentioned the Navy example, and it was particularly, I don't even want to say insensitive of the four captains. I think they just kind of missed it.
Yeah.
Because you remember the shootings in Annapolis at the newspaper 13 months ago, and then there was another shooting of three people at a Rite Aid warehouse just a couple months after that, again nearby in Aberdeen, Maryland. And so being in Annapolis, that was particularly not a good way for Navy to go. And as you said, Ken Niumatalolo, the coach, who's one of the good guys in college football, met with his players and explained it to them, and all four of them just said, of course, you're right, coach, let's change it. And they did. And now the slogan for the year is win the day, which is absolutely fine for any team in any sport. The other one was the Champ Bailey's induction speech on Saturday night in Canton, which I thought was eloquent. And what Champ Bailey was trying to say, and as he said, to my white friends, please, you know, don't tell me that you understand when I talk about some of the difficulties of being a black man. Please listen. You know, that's what he said. Please listen. And that was his message. Listen when I talk about how I fear for my children. Listen when I talk about the fact that some of the things that make us as black men great athletes, our size and our aggression, also make it dangerous for us in the world we live in. And I thought that was something that we should all, forgive the expression, listen to. And the third thing, of course, was after the two mass shootings we had this weekend, the one in San Antonio and then the one in Dayton, a soccer player here, playing for Philadelphia, but playing a game here in Washington, Jorge Bedoya, after scoring a goal, ran over to a television mic and shouted into the mic, "Do something about gun control, Congress. Do it now." I know there were people, NRA people in particular, who didn't want to hear that from an athlete or anybody else. But again, I thought he had a right to speak up. Athletes have a platform, and whether they use it to support right-wing issues or left-wing issues or middle-of-the-road issues, I think it's good when they do. And you remember the incident when LeBron James talked about President Trump, I guess about 18 months now, after his house was vandalized with a racist hate slogan on the door of his house. And he was critical of President Trump. And Laura Ingraham, who's at least as far right as I am left, said, "Shut up and dribble."
Right.
And the implication, of course, is if you're an athlete, you somehow don't have the right to speak up on issues. And I think many people don't want athletes to speak up on issues when they disagree with them.
Yes, absolutely.
So
no, but here's
the point of the column. And, you know, a lot. I don't hear people who are supporters of the president complain when golfers talk about how much they love President Trump. None of them say, "Shut up and hit your next shot."
Here's the question I have, and I think it's a legitimate one, is like, suppose the soccer guy had grabbed the microphone and yelled, "Build the wall, build it now." You okay with that?
I wouldn't have agreed with his sentiment, but I would have agreed with his right to it and his right to use his platform. And, I, you know, again, remember the context of what happened Sunday night. There had been the two mass shootings, and he was trying to make a point that, you know, Congress needs to get off its butt and do something and stop being intimidated by the NRA. If the wall had just been voted down in Congress or something, and it, or it had been voted up in Congress, and he was an advocate of the wall, and he did that, I wouldn't have a problem. I would disagree with him, but I wouldn't have a problem with him again using his platform to let people know how he feels. I think you know, when people say to me, "Stay in your lane," as in only write about sports, my answer is, so if I were a banker, I don't have a right to political opinions. Right. If I'm a lawyer, I don't have a right to political opinions. And then there are people, I'm sure you heard this often, during the national anthem protests that were started by Colin Kaepernick, many people saying, "You're taking away my enjoyment of football." Well, how? You don't have to look at them kneeling. You don't have to acknowledge that they're kneeling. You can ignore it completely. You can disagree with it. You can boo if you want. You have the, I was at a Baltimore Ravens game because I was researching my book on playing quarterback in the NFL in 2017.
Good book,
by
the way.
This was a week after the president's rant in Alabama saying fire the SOBs if they don't stand for the national anthem. And here's what the Ravens did. When the PA announcer read a very mild thing saying, you know, "We hope at a time in this troubled time Americans can come together," something like that. And as he read it, they all knelt. And the fans booed. Then they stood up for the anthem, locked arms and stood up for the anthem, and they got booed. They did not kneel during the anthem, but many fans just didn't want them saying anything. And my point is, and then there are people who say, "Well, you don't have the right to protest in your workplace." Well, of course you do, as long as you do your job.
Yeah, you probably know the name because you're dialed into stuff like this. I was very, very, I use the word blessed advisedly here, very blessed to have as a professor at my very small college, Virginia Wesleyan College, Dr. Richard Lapchick, who is the head of the Center of Study of Sport and Society. He started it at Northeastern. He's moved it down to Central Florida. His dad was the legendary
basketball coach.
His dad was the legendary basketball coach, Joe Lapchick. He knows sports. He's a very likable man. I've visited with him many times. And he basically, way back, I was still a student, so I had no idea I was going to be doing this for a living, really made very clear to me that whether I like it or you like it or anybody likes it, sports and society have always been linked and will always be linked. And so, you know, you can get as mad as you want to, but it's like, you know, railing at the rain. It's going to rain sometimes. That's just the way it is. So you got to come to terms with what's you think is appropriate. And here's where I would disagree with you slightly. I don't like the guy running to the microphone during the game. I think that interferes with the game itself. Like Champ Bailey, that's his life's work. And I think it's a great mess. While I happen to agree with the message, like you said, even if I didn't, I don't think it's completely inappropriate. You're there reflecting on, this is what I've learned and most meaningful to me in my life. And there are people that probably would have loved the pablum of, "I just want to thank my high school coach and my mother and all that." But I didn't have a problem with that. I thought it was a really heartfelt, passionate, thoughtful speech, and that's the place for it. The Navy guys were 100% right. But as much as I agree with the sentiment, I don't like guys. That, to me, is taken away from the game. I wouldn't have liked it any more than I had to run to the microphone and yelled, "Drink Powerade. It's the best drink out there." That, to me, is the same deal.
Well, I will, first of all, disagree with you on the Powerade thing, because if he was doing that, he was getting paid for it. So, you know, that he would be doing that to make a buck. And I hear what you're saying, that it is in game as opposed to the national anthem protests, which were before the start of the game.
Right.
But he had just scored a goal. Play stops, as you know, in soccer, when someone scores a goal.
True.
He was celebrating with his teammates, and during the celebration ran over and yelled into the microphone and then moved on. But I hear what you're saying, that it's clearly different than a Hall of Fame induction speech or the situation with Navy, or even the national anthem protest, for that matter.
Or even Steve Kerr, when he talks in the locker room after the game. He's talking, that's what he feels, yes.
All the time. And no one has been more vocal about gun control for a long time now than Steve Kerr. And if people don't understand that, given that his father was killed by someone who shot him in the back of the head, then, you know, they're blind.
Absolutely.
But, But I think that I hear what you're saying about Bedoya, and it was a little bit different. But I will say this. I liked very much what both he and his coach, Jim Curtin, said in the locker room afterwards.
Yes, I agree with that.
In discussing the situation. And I thought Jim Curtin, the coach of the Philadelphia Union, said something that he put what I've been trying to say for years into one sentence. And he said, "We're all human beings before we're athletes."
That's a good.
And
that's a good line.
People say people are. You're an athlete, so you shouldn't be talking about politics. Well, you were a human being long before you were an athlete.
That's a great point. And your point about bankers are allowed to talk, lawyers are allowed to talk, but the coaches and athletes, we're just supposed to be dumb jocks, I guess. So
yeah, shut up and dribble.
Yeah, that's offensive. That's so ridiculously, stupidly offensive to me. But then again, that's because I was. I always hated when people wanted to lump you into that group of. Just a dumb jock. Just play the game. What do you know? I mean,
well, yeah, and especially when LeBron James or Champ Bailey or Ed Reed during his induction speech talk about the difficulties of being an African American in today's society. Who are you or me or Laura Ingraham to tell them they don't know what they're talking about?
Yeah.
We don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I love because, listen, I'm the first to say it. You got to have an ego to say, hey, I'm going to open my mouth now. I expect people to care what I say. So I get that. But why are they so qualified to be able to speak on these things? Because they have a radio show? I should tell them, shut up and read your ads. I mean, what's the difference?
And it's funny because obviously I couldn't possibly disagree with Laura Ingraham more than I do. But I was in a green room with her once at CNN. I was about to do a segment on Howie Kurtz's old media show, and she was on in the next segment. And it was a Sunday morning, and I think Meet the Press was on, and David Broder was on Meet the Press. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah, sure I do. Yeah.
Very distinguished political reporter for the Washington Post for many, many years. And the most fair man I think I ever met in my life. He wrote about Democrats and Republicans for 50 years, was respected by all, and he was commenting on some leaks out of the Bush White House, the George W. Bush White House, and how embarrassing it was for the White House that all these things were being leaked about the Iraqi war and other things. And Ingraham started shouting at the television, oh, shut up, Broder, you liberal, you're just trying to make the White House look bad. And I turned around, I looked at her, I said, are you kidding me? There's no more fair man in Washington, D.C. than David Broder, and no one more qualified to talk about this thing than David Broder because he's covered like 10 presidents. And she looked at me and said, who are you? And I said, I'm the liberal you're talking about.
It's simple. If somebody's talking in a public forum and they're saying something you disagree with, it's automatically the wrong place for it. That's what it's come down to.
Of course. And again, I said this the other day in response to a tweet. No one has ever tweeted at me, I agree completely with what you're saying, but you shouldn't talk about politics.
Yeah, that's exactly.
They don't.
That's a great point.
It just doesn't happen. And look, that's life. But what I think that's why Champ Bailey's point was so important when he said, "Please listen." And that's, I don't want to get preachy, but that's what we all need to do.
I couldn't agree with you more.
If I disagree with you, like when you talked about Bedoya, I listened to you, and I said I understand exactly where you're coming, and then I told you what I thought. Yeah. You listened to me. It's not that hard, but it seems to have become almost impossible today.
That's really sad. Let me ask you this. John Feinstein's with us, author, columnist. Always enjoy his comments on damn near anything. This is one. You've had a rather, shall we call it, unusual relationship with ESPN for years.
That's one way to put it.
They've been very good to my family. I have to be candid. They've been very good to me. But I do think they went through a stretch under their last leadership where they overreached a bit. They did what I was saying at the beginning, where they were shoehorning politics into, like, you can't just get on and say, there's a 2-2 count on the batter and somehow make that a political statement. I mean, and they were trying to do that. I think they were. I understand why. If you're in that chair, man, the people who've come before you, the Steve Steve Bornsteins, the George Bodenheimers. They've had, whether you like them or dislike them, they've had legacies. You're trying to find your place. So that was going to be his. He was going to make ESPN a voice of things. John Skipper, yes. And he's a good guy, but I think he took a misstep. Now, Jimmy Pitaro, who's there, who is a diehard sports fan, who is, you know, they talk about, I've read the piece, maybe you saw it, where he was in a Yankee game. He wants some. That made me laugh out loud. He wants them to throw him a ball. They wouldn't throw him a ball. But the point being, you know, now a very intelligent and very, very well-received voice took issue with him, Dan Le Batard. The meaning, just because you say, okay, we're going to service the sports fan, we're changing gears a bit. Okay, there's some obvious places where they are not trying to shoehorn politics into a 2-2 count. But now where do they go? And Le Batard's frustration with that was articulated. Where, when you read that whole story, where do you weigh in on it?
Well, again, it gets back to what you said at the very beginning. That there are moments when politics and sports do intersect, and there are moments when politics and sports don't intersect. For example, going back to the national anthem thing, the Sunday before President Trump delivered his rant against the players kneeling, you know how many players kneeled that Sunday?
No.
Six.
Wow.
The Sunday after, more than 200 either kneeled or stayed in the locker room during the national anthem. So is that athletes putting politics into sports, or is that a politician putting sports into politics? Because it cuts both ways. And I understand what you're saying about ESPN maybe going too far and shoehorning politics into sports shows at times. Again, most of the objections came from the right wing, because most of the ESPN talking heads, whomever they might be, including many friends of mine, as you know, tend to lean left.
Right.
So that's where the complaints came from. But so I understand why Jimmy Pitaro, when he took over for John Skipper, wanted to rein it in. But there is a line. I mean, what? For example, I don't know, because I don't watch enough. Was there any commentary on ESPN on the Navy situation? If not, how could there not be? On all of their various outlets, because that was a sports story. It was about a football team, and it was about a bunch of football players realizing they had made a mistake and reeling it back in. How could you not? Now, obviously, Champ Bailey's speech was on ESPN. I don't know what the commentator said about it afterwards, or if they commented on it at all. But they should have, because it's a Hall of Fame football player. When LeBron James speaks up on politics, regardless of what he says, They should report it, you know. And I mean, I remember in 1993 when I was working on A Good Walk Spoiled, before the Ryder Cup, the Ryder Cup team was invited by Bill Clinton to the White House. Many of the players on that team objected and said they did not want to go. Paul Azinger in particular was outspoken. His father was a Vietnam War veteran. He felt that Bill Clinton had been a draft dodger, and he said it. Eventually, Tom Watson, who is as right-wing as anybody I know, who was the captain of the team, said, it's the President of the United States. We were invited to go to the White House. We go, and because we're representing the United States. And they went, and it was fine. But was ESPN back then, or any other news outlet, not supposed to report that story or not supposed to comment on that story? Well, of course they were. It's worth remembering, and I know you know this, Bob, because you're better read than I am, but the first Olympic marathon was run by a messenger delivering news of a victory in a war.
Yeah.
Nike. That's where sports started.
Nike Athena, right? Isn't that the saying? That's how Nike got it.
Yeah, and the guy dropped dead upon delivering the news.
Yeah.
And so sports and politics have been intertwined forever. You can go to the Berlin Olympics and Hitler. You can go to Mexico City when Avery Brundage banned Tommy Smith and John Carlos after their black glove salute, a peaceful protest. You can go to the tragedy in Munich. You can go to Jimmy Carter boycotting the 1980 Olympics and the Eastern Bloc boycotting the Los Angeles Olympics. It's there.
Yep.
It's part of sports. And you, people can scream stick to sports all they want. It's just not possible.
That's well said. I literally have 30 seconds, but you working on any books? You got to be. You're always working on a book.
I'm finishing a book that I think you will be among, I hope not the few, that will enjoy. I spent last season hanging out with teams, coaches, players in college basketball who aren't on ESPN all the time.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, the one-bid leagues.
Nice.
I spent a night with Jim Calhoun, who's coaching Division III now, as
yep.
you know. And it was a trip to be with him. But it was a fun book to do. I hope a few people will buy it.
I will enjoy that. You wrote one like something about that, like the Patriot League, which was a great
this
read.
Is sort of the Patriot League book on steroids.
Yeah, well, this is good.
It's national and involves more teams and players than just seven schools from one league. But the Patriot League was involved. I'll tell you a quick story. I know you got to get to break. I went with Army when they played at Duke. You know, Krzyzewski's an Army grad, and it's a big deal for the kids to play in Cameron. And as I crossed, I was with the Army coaches in the locker room, and at Duke, to get to the visitor's bench, you pass the Duke bench, and Krzyzewski always stands there and shakes hands with all the coaches. And I walked out with the coaches, and he looks at me, and he says, "What the blank are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I did the pregame talk." And at halftime, Duke was only up six. And as we crossed at halftime, I looked at Mike, I said, "Guess I did a pretty good job." He didn't even crack a smile.
I was going to say, at that point, I'm sure he didn't exactly chuckle. Yeah, I'm sure that's true. What's the name of it? What's the title?
It's called The Back Roads to March, and it'll be out, shockingly enough, next March.
We'll look forward to it. Thanks, John. Have a good weekend,
right,
everybody.
Bobby,
appreciate
thanks.
It.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.